We're going to be in Romans chapter number 15 tonight. Romans chapter number 15. One verse of scripture, verse number 4. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege to be with your children together, to laugh and to enjoy one another. As Solomon has told us to do, rejoice in the day. Rejoice in the opportunities of today because we have no promise of them tomorrow. So help us to rejoice in this worship service. Help us to worship you and honor you and glorify you to the very best of our strength. And God, you help us do that. Help us to lift you up in our hearts. Help our minds to be open to hear your word. And God, may we rejoice that we are the children of God and we have a hope that is eternal, that no one can take from us, that we have in Christ. So God, help us as we look at the text tonight. Give us understanding of it. Be with us, lead us, guide us, and direct us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to be too terribly long tonight. I know we have a bridal shower following the service, and I'm hoping that all of you are planning to help Abby and JD get off to the right start with their household. So I know you've come prepared. I hope you've come prepared to with a gift, and you'll be eager to go up and to spend some time fellowshipping with them tonight. Verse 4, Romans chapter number 15. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have what? Hope. We are learning from the Bible what God, through the Word of God, says about hope. And what we have been taught so far is that hope is a possession gained through the new birth. The aim of God in regenerating sinners is to give them a living hope. Paul wrote that God, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So hope is not something that we have naturally, and it's not something everyone has. Only those who have been born again, only those who have been regenerated by the power of the Spirit of God have this lively hope. Hope is not something we have, it's not something we can develop over time. Hope is something given to us by God. Biblical hope is a future-oriented thing that speaks of a surety. It's a future-oriented surety. There are some things that we don't know in this uncertain world that we live in, but there are some things that the people of God are sure of. It is a hope that is secured for us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Through the new birth, we have a confident expectation that the promises of God are yours, the forgiveness of sins is yours, the acceptance by the Beloved is yours. Despite all your sin, you are saved. You are no longer a mere sinner. You are a saved sinner. You are no longer a child of the flesh. You are a child of God. You have been born again to this lively hope. We are sure of this hope because God has reserved it for us in heaven, and He is keeping us safe to receive it one day. Then we learn that hope is connected to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is the present activity of future realities. Because we know These future things will no doubt come to pass. We live by faith in the present. Say amen. We have in Hebrews 11 one example after another of those armed with this future hope who did courageous and bold things by faith in the present. What you are sure of will come in the future is by faith realized and seen in the present. And that causes you to live your life in light of that hope. Now, theologian Billy Joel talked about keeping the faith. But Paul talks here about keeping the hope in this verse. And I'm not speaking in terms of losing our hope, because you can't lose your hope. But in terms of feeding this hope and strengthening this hope and nourishing this hope and sustaining this hope. Now, there are some well-meaning people who will tell you that once you are saved, you never have any struggles anymore. You don't ever struggle with guilt, and you don't ever struggle with fear. And from the time you're saved to the time you die, it's just perfect spiritual peace from that point forward. And that sounds good, doesn't it? I wish that was true. It's not. It's a lie. You are never free from the struggle with guilt and fear. Your future will not all be peace and sweetness. This hope that we have is going to be threatened, is going to be questioned, is going to be challenged. That's the best thing. The hope that you have in Christ, in the resurrection, all that's going to be challenged in your day-to-day living. When you are born again, you are born to a battle to maintain the full assurance of hope to the end, a battle that can only be fought and won, according to Paul, with the Word of God. The only way anyone can win this battle, the only one anyone can maintain this, the fullness of this hope, is by fighting hopelessness with the Word of God. So, tonight I want to give you three things from this verse about God's Word. Number one, the instruction of the Word. The instruction of the Word. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So the Bible, all of the Bible, is written for our learning. The Old Testament is written for our learning, and the New Testament is written for our learning. Say amen. We often look at Scripture for encouragement. We're going to get to that. But what Paul mentions here is the Word of God instructs us. So that's the first aim of the Word of God. The Word of God is primarily teaching us something. We come to the Word of God, hopefully we come to the Word of God, willing to learn what the Scriptures teach. Because if we expect to be encouraged by the truth, don't we need to understand the truth? Or else we sort of are encouraged by our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own words. We come to Scriptures giving ourselves to understand what the text is teaching. And all of us should do our very best not just to skim over Scripture, not just to give Scripture a quick reading on your way out the door in the morning or as you go to bed at night. You read the Word of God, you study the Word of God, you listen to the Word of God to understand what God is saying to us, to receive the instruction of God, to be taught from God. And what we need, all of us need, a systematic diet of instruction, not just a few crumbs a day, If we're going to fight successfully to maintain the full assurance of hope till the end, we need to be in the Word of God with the aim of understanding the Word of God. Every time we open Scriptures to read, every time we open the Scriptures to study or to hear, as you're doing tonight, your goal tonight should be to understand what Paul is saying or what God is saying through Paul in Romans 15:4. What does that mean? And what does that mean for me? What is God trying to teach us in this text? What is the doctrine that I am to learn? So it's not just reading the Bible so that we can cross off. We have a list, and each day we check off what we read so that we can read through the Bible in a year. But that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to correctly understand what we read, what we study, and what we hear. I think it would be better to understand one verse of Scripture, to really understand one verse of Scripture, than read the whole Bible and never understand it. Reading is easy, understanding is harder. Reading is quick, understanding takes thought and time and effort. Reading the Scripture is labor, right? Because you're seeking to grasp its meaning, and that is sometimes, most of the time, very difficult work to do. So, seek to understand what you read. Say amen. That would be far more beneficial, because that is the aim of the Scriptures, that we would understand what God is saying. He is teaching us. He is training us. He is instructing us in His Word. Number two, not only do we see here the instruction of the Word, but we see the intention of the Word. When the Scriptures as instructions are properly understood, they will then produce endurance and encouragement. That's what the words patient and comfort mean. Patience means endurance. And comfort means encouragement. So when we come to the Word of God to understand it, to properly grasp it, when we do, from that understanding, we receive endurance and encouragement. Say amen. So don't look for encouragement in the Scriptures primarily. Look for the instructions that you are to learn, and from them you will be encouraged. Say amen. It's silly to think we can find encouragement that we don't in something we don't even understand. Properly understanding the Word of God will keep you on the path of obedience even when you face daily opposition. Where does endurance come from? Your willpower? No. It comes from the Scriptures. It doesn't come from within yourself. Endurance comes from understanding the Scriptures. Say amen. Scriptures give us God's perspective on things, and that biblical perspective will make a very hard situation that we may be going through endurable. Say amen. How am I going to get through this period of my life? Through the Scriptures, right? Not just reading them, but digging in, seeking to understand what God is teaching. And through that, we will be able to endure. The Scriptures are given to us for endurance and for encouragement in hard times. And we are foolish if we neglect them. Say amen. I can't tell you how many times that I have been discouraged and disappointed, and I have gone to the Scriptures, and I have found endurance, and I have found encouragement from God. Say amen. Amen. It is in understanding those words of God. Endurance comes from meditating on the Word of God. So if you want to have staying power, if you want to endure to the end, even when our lives are facing costly obedience, then turn the TV off and meditate on the Scriptures. Say amen. You're not going to find encouragement or endurance on the TV. Turn it off and get into God's Word, seeking to understand what God says. The Holy Spirit will help you, and you will come out of that able to endure and encouraged. If you don't understand, if you do not understand the Word, you won't gain endurance and encouragement. And it's going to be a long, hard life if you don't. We all need help, right? We all need encouragement. We all need help enduring things. We all get discouraged and disappointed. We all, from time to time, just want to drop out. It all seems very hard sometimes. Say amen. We all seem like we're drowning. We're not going to make it another step, right? How am I going to get through this? The answer is in the Word of God. Understanding the Word will help you endure. And understanding the Word will encourage you. There are so many things that make our Christian walk very difficult. I have described it as uphill all the way. But it's when you understand the teaching of Scripture that you get the strength to carry on. And you get the encouragement to keep on keeping on. Say amen. My next step is dependent upon me and Scripture. Say amen. The endurance and the encouragement to move forward is in the Scriptures. Number three, not only the instruction of the Word and the intention of the Word, but notice, lastly, the inspiration of the Word. That we, through patience, endurance, and comfort of the Scriptures, our encouragement, might have what? Hope. Now, I'm using the word inspiration here, not to describe how the Bible was written by divine inspiration of God through the Spirit of God. Instead, I'm using the word inspiration here as the goal of Scriptures to help us in sustaining our hope. In the Scriptures, in the instructions of God, we receive endurance and encouragement that inspire for us, that invigorate for us, maybe that's a better word, that invigorate for us our hope. The Scriptures were written, the Scriptures were preserved to inspire our hope, to invigorate our hope. So when you read in the Old Testament, you read those stories of those Old Testament saints who endured many hardships in the Scriptures. Those are words of encouragement that you too, with God's help, can endure. But the way these stories and these words actually make a difference in our lives is they sustain our hope. It's hope that keeps us going in tough situations. Christian endurance is not just gritting your teeth, being strong-willed against all odds. We are driven and sustained in our hope by the Word of God. And before we get to glory, before we end this life, there's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of tribulation, a lot of persecutions, a lot of trouble and difficulty and discouragements and disappointments. The strength to endure all that comes from the hope that we have to keep before us. If I look at the situations and I don't keep hope in front of me, I'm in trouble. But to keep hope in front of me, I have to keep my eyes and my head in the Scriptures. Reading and understanding the Scriptures always keeps my hope in Christ in front of me, and then I can't see all of the troubles. Say amen. You've heard the slogan, no pain, no gain. Sometimes that is true. I remember when I was rehabbing my knee. Truly, that was true. No pain, no gain. But the reverse is always also true, right? If you can't be sure there's going to be gain, why would you endure the pain? Say amen. If they told me that they were going to do all that stuff to my knee and at the end my knee wouldn't even be any better than what it was when I went in, I'd say, no, thank you. If I'm not sure there's going to be gain, why would we endure the pain? If we're not sure there's a gain in obeying Christ, why would we endure the pain of obeying Christ? See, that's where the Word of God is essential. Because your own feelings and the wisdom of the world is going to tell you over and over again, it isn't worth it. Why do you go to church 3 times a week? It's not worth it. They'll tell you being a pastor isn't worth it. Deal with all the stuff you got to deal with as a pastor. That's not worth it. Being a godly wife and a godly mother, that isn't worth it. Being honest at work isn't worth it. Spending time with your brothers and sisters in Christ at church isn't worth it. Serving in the church, being a servant in the church isn't worth it. Nobody appreciates you anyway. Come on. Teaching that Sunday school class isn't worth it. Working in the Rock isn't worth it. Helping in Good News isn't worth it. Obeying Scripture isn't worth it. There's not enough gain for the pain you have to go through. That's what your feelings will tell you. That's what the world will say. That's not what Scriptures say. Mark 19:29. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." Oh, listen, no matter what you go through on this life, the gain is worth the pain. Say amen. Obedience to God is always worth it. So we endure here to reach the age to come. We endure here to have eternal life. We endure here to be in the presence of Christ. We endure here for the infinite joy of forever and ever. But we do not endure here without hope. We have hope. And it is a daily battle to cope with the daily temptations to disobey and throw in the towel on all of your responsibilities. And the only way that battle can be fought, the only way that you can nourish your hope and strengthen your hope, is never forget the truth of this verse. The battle to keep on hoping can only be fought with the Scriptures. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. That by the endurance and by the encouragement, by the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Amen. It is almost every Monday I'm ready to resign. I don't think I've preached well enough. I don't think I've studied long enough. I've failed to communicate God's word the way that I wanted to. There's seemingly no response to God's word. Every Monday, I get this feeling in my heart, it's just not worth it. But then I get in Scripture, and I get endurance. And I get encouragement. Amen? It's the only way. How do I keep my hope in front of my face and not my problems? by understanding the Scriptures. Amen? It's when those lights come on and you see something for the first time that you've read that text a million times, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. God gives you that gift of understanding, and you say, whoa! That's awesome. Then you got to call in Denise. Let me show you something. John Piper described it this way. This is how he described preaching. He said, the preacher, all week long, goes down into the mines, deep down into the mines. While you're doing things here on the surface, the preacher is deep down into the mines, and he is looking for treasure. He is looking for treasure. And on Sunday morning, he comes up and says, look what I found. Look at this gold that I found. I want to show it to you. I want to share it with you. That's study and preaching. Say amen. Look what I found. Have you ever found something in Scripture and you just had to tell somebody? Come in here. Let me show you this. What do you think about this? Look here. Just got that. Boom. Say amen. And it's encouraging. Makes you want to read some more. Makes you want to study some more. Makes you want to preach some more. That's what encourages the preacher. He's found some gold. He's found some gold in his digging that week that he wants to share with the people. And you've come and said, show us what you found. Say amen. If you want to keep your hope alive and strong in the Scriptures, seeking to understand what we are being taught, receiving endurance and encouragement for our hope. Amen? Let's pray.